I agree, Donna, that was a good prayer. I would also add, come Holy Spirit in a powerful way. And we don't want to just be touched by Him. We want to be touched by Him. How many believe in God? How many believe in Jesus? How many believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's a beautiful picture there, church. You know, today is going to be a service of action, so you have already partaken of some of what's going to take place just by that simple acknowledgement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask that you would go before us as we enter into your word, and I pray that it would speak power to us, that we would be emptied out of ourselves, that the things of this world wouldn't have our attention, but that we would be focused on you. God, send your Spirit in a gentle way to throttle us and move us in a mighty way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, if you were here, we were in the book of Acts, the first chapter, learning about the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, and we're to tap into Him and go. Just out of curiosity, did you interact with the Holy Spirit this week? Were you hanging out with Him? Because we can do that every day of the week. We learned that we are to be an active part in continuing the work God, through Jesus, has begun. In order to accomplish this task, we learned that we need to be filled. That's the truth of God's word. No spirit, no action. Last week I struggled to form a sentence that says this: truth confirmed with experience is absolute certainty. So truth confirmed by experience is absolute certainty. We must believe what God's word says is true. Do you believe that, church? Once we experience God's word, we have absolute certainty. Did you ever read about something and go, wow, you have absolute certainty? This morning we're going to be looking at Acts 2, and I will have a lot of questions that must be answered if we're truly going to be the church God intends us to be. So let me begin by asking, first question, do we really know what was going on the day of Pentecost? Oh, yeah, I do. I said last week, probably most of us read the book of Acts at some point, but have we studied it? So to refresh our memory, let me read some selected verses from Acts 2, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1692. So if you want to follow along, we'll be bouncing around. Acts chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. I love the rustling of pages, and I will stay here until I stop hearing it. All right, so Acts 2 at verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages?" I'm going to stop there. But at this point, what was it that had them so amazed? Was it the rushing of the wind? Was it the fact that strange people were speaking in familiar languages? What had their attention? I believe these people were speaking about the wonderful truths of God. And people were like, wait, what? Maybe I'm wrong. Drop down to verse 13 and I'll read to verse 21. But that's first thing. You know, why is it when we talk about what God is doing, there always seems to be a but? Verse 13, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. Your version might say they've had too much wine. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These verses are amazing. This is God's truth. You know, Old Testament prophecies confirmed by experience. The account of Pentecost in Acts 2, which in turn should produce absolute certainty for the believer. They're talking about the Old Testament. They're experiencing it in the New Testament. And they're going, oh. Are you like excited about God's word? Or is it just some book you read twice a week? This is an action-packed book. You have to understand, for years, the Jewish people of the day had celebrated Pentecost. This was nothing new. It was a feast day, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. It was celebrated the 50th day after Passover. But listen, something different happened this particular day of Pentecost. I always get Passover and Pentecost kind of. This was the day when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on 120 followers of Christ. This is a turning point. Think about it. What began as a gathering in an upper room in Jerusalem for the celebration of the blessings of the past, as was their custom, now became something that transformed their present. They were never going to be the same. This is something completely new. At Pentecost, the church was birthed by the promised coming of the Spirit of God. And at that moment in time, listen, blessed and empowered futures were guaranteed for all generations yet to come. We're never too old or too young. The promise of the Holy Spirit was and is for every follower of Christ since that day. He said, how do you know this, James? Well, who made the promise? God, the Father, made the promise. And what is the promise? It's the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all people. Men, women, young, old, makes no difference. You can have the power. If Captain Kirk was here, he'd say, we need more power, Captain. God, I need more power. I need your strength to stand up here. Listen to the words of Peter in Acts 2, down at verses 32 and 33. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we're all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. What we're looking at today is Peter explaining the significance of the events unfolding before their eyes and their ears. Those gathered in Jerusalem, this carries over to us today. I know it's a hard message. It makes no sense because we're talking about spirit things. But we are spirit, having a human experience. My hope is that you understand God the Father has raised Jesus the Son and enthroned him as Lord of all. Is he our Lord, church? He's given his people the Holy Spirit just as he promised. The faithful disciples who had obeyed Jesus' command and stayed in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the promise of his Father and continues to this day. The book of Acts indicates that Mary, the mother of Jesus, the disciples, other men and women received this promise of the Father. Throughout the book of Acts, we find plenty of other occasions where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 speaks of a spiritual revival in Samaria. Philip preached, and they were baptized. Later, the apostles laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 9, the not yet apostle Paul experienced an encounter while he was Saul of Tarsus. He accepted the truth about Jesus. 3 days later, if you're familiar, Ananias laid hands on him. He was filled, prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 tells us the whole household of Cornelius sat and listened to as Peter preached the gospel to them. Verses 46, you don't have to go there. I just want to share the truth. Verses 44 through 46 say, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were, get this, listening to the message. Are you listening to the message? Because this message this morning is for you. Listen up. Listen up. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these Gentiles too, for they had heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. We also see in Acts 19, this is a little different, that Paul found certain disciples in Ephesus who didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You're thinking, how can this be? Paul laid hands on these men, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And God's word says, all of them. Read it for yourself. It wasn't many, but they were all filled. Since then, throughout the centuries, for hundreds and hundreds of years, God's Spirit has been poured out. Sadly, though, it hasn't landed on all. Today, we still find some Christians, like the Christians Paul found in Ephesus. In Acts 19, we read in the first two verses, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the inner regions until he reached Ephesus. And then he gives specific, you know, on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked. No, they replied. We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Some Christians today don't understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. They have not yet fully experienced the promise, the presence, and the power that they have access to in their own personal life. Church, don't leave it on the table for another day. Take the action. Pick it up. Put Him in your heart. Trust Him, His faithfulness. Then you'll go. How is it that they don't own this? I think it may be due to the fact that some churches aren't too much more than social clubs. They're organizations that give out certificates for perfect Sunday school attention and gift cards for doing the memory work, but there is no discussion about the access to the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God living in them. Their lives don't change. I go to church. I go home. I eat lunch. I go to work. I go to work. I go to work. I go to work. I pray. I go to work. I enjoy Saturday and cut the grass. I go to church. For they just don't change. God's word speaks of a stony path. You know, going to church can be a stony path. It's just what I do. And what God's word says when that gets hard, the representation of your heart, you don't change. You just do. God wants you to go and do. Pentecost was and is a day of transformation. Some Christians have only been taught to come to the cross for a pardon. Get out of hell free card. It is so much more to coming to Christ. The power of the cross. They've never been encouraged to pick up the power. I'm pleading with you, church. Taste and see. Touch it, man. It'll change your life. We need to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit is not some special blessing for a select few in a certain age group. It is for all who came out of this world and believed the gospel. It's for all who accept forgiveness of sin by faith in Jesus. You know Jesus. You said, I know God. Yeah. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Yeah. Yeah, I got the Holy Spirit living in me. We here at Christ Little Topahawken Church stand on the Word of God. Yes, church? Yes. We believe that of the promises God's Word speaks of. Yes, church?
Yes.
Yes. We believe that the Spirit of God is active in the people of God. Yes. He's not active in everyone. You must believe and receive. And then guess what comes? We'll get there. He takes up residence in everyone who truly believes, who are fully convinced Jesus is Lord. It's a beautiful thing to watch a person grow in their relationship with Christ when they're empowered and directed by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. When someone lives in the Spirit, they walk by the Spirit. When someone lives in the Spirit, they have the fruit of the Spirit in them. If you were here on Wednesday night, you would remember Pastor Dave saying, what the world could look like if there was more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and I think self-control. Goodness. There's nine of them, one in all. It's God's makeup. And He takes up residence in us. When someone lives in the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be seen in their lives. They change the way they think. They speak words of wisdom. They reflect strong faith. We're living in a generation where God is pouring out his Spirit in a mighty and powerful way. Around the world, even though it looks so bleak, He is moving. The truth is, when the gospel is being preached, people of every tribe and tongue are being saved. When they take the action and respond to the Spirit call on their life, the Holy Spirit is restoring and transforming lives to this very day. The question that needs to be answered today are, have you asked the Holy Spirit to renew your heart? If your life feels like it's a wreck, have you asked Him to restore you? God, I can't go another step. I'm dying here. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to change you? Because the Holy Spirit stands at the ready to transform you. I was, now I am. And people know it. You need to understand the Holy Spirit was not just for the apostles. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not just for the church, to start the church. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all who believe, for all who are saved, for all who follow Christ, for all who turn from the trappings of this world. Let me ask you, do you want everything God has in store for you?
Oh, no, I'm just going to leave that one on the table.
I'm kind of happy being down here in the muck and mire. Is that really where Jesus Christ wants us? No. As human beings created in God's image, we have the capacity to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered followers of Christ. The Holy Spirit can and will produce fruit in you. The Holy Spirit has have spiritual gifts intended for you to use in your journey throughout life. And to tap into those gifts, that power, it takes faith. Faith to believe that He is present in this world in the heart of every believer. To experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we must be open to His leadership and committed to listen, obey every direction and path He chooses to lead us on. Do you think I chose this path? Uh-uh. But I'm not going to say, no, God, I can't stand where you want me to stand, because He is faithful. And He uses marred vessels and broken upside down people to do great things for what? His kingdom. His glory. To experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we must commit ourselves to prayer and trust Him to lead our thoughts as we communicate with the God of the universe. It's a privilege to pray, not a burden. And that's definitely not a last resort. We pray in the Spirit. To experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to spend time in the Word of God. And let the Spirit of God help us have understanding and implement what it says. The Holy Spirit came into the world on the day of Pentecost to do a mighty work, and He continues to be on mission to this day. What is that mission? To seek and save the lost. How does He do it? For the recording, I'm pointing at that congregation and me. We're His hands, His feet, and His voice. Don't forget the voice. We must cooperate with Him to be the church that He desires. We need to grasp the foundational truths about God. At Christmas, we celebrate God, the creator of the universe, becoming man. That's to say, God with us. Right? Yeah. And then at Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection, we come to the understanding that God is for us. If God is for me, who can be against me, right? So today, as we come to Pentecost, we look at God in us. God is in you.
How does that work?
I don't know. He's God. What is needed in the world we live today is fresh wind and fresh fire. Or the moving, or the outpouring, or the infilling of the Spirit of God. Oh, to fully experience what the disciples experienced that day in Jerusalem in an upper room can be experienced today. Oh, you all tingly and shaky?
No, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what you're saying, James.
God, send divine revelation to these people. What would this church be like? What impact would it have on the computer, in the community? Dare I say, in the world? Really, I can make a difference in the world? I may have made a difference in Scotland because I know the people I met over there make a difference in me. I'm hoping it goes both ways. To be the church God intends us to believe, I believe He's looking for men and women, young and old, to be people of action. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to take an action.
Oh, now I'm sick. Bathrooms down the hall on the right if you're a man, on the woman.
No excuses here. Take an action for the God you say you believe and want to serve. Is there a desire to experience the power of the Holy Spirit living in you in all His fullness? Is that like moving in you right now? Any God bumps tingling? Or are you just sick to your stomach because He's asking me to do something and I ain't going to do it? I'm just going to sit here stoic because you can't tell me what to... It's not me. God is calling you. And I'm asking you to take an action. Where you are right now, will you in faith reach out with your arms open wide and say, God, I receive your promise. Fill me with your Spirit. With your help, Lord, I will go and do whatever you would have me to do. Let me pray for you. And I hope that when my eyes open, every hand is over their heads saying, fill me, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that these aren't stories. These are accounts that equip us and empower us to be all you created us to be. God, with arms over our heads, we receive you in Jesus' name. God, send your Spirit. Fill us to the overflow. Fill me to the overflow, God. I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your hands and your feet and go where you lead me. Today, tomorrow, and until you come again or call me home, God, this is my prayer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.